through a transformer because it saves the battery, doesn't it? Yeah. That's the reason, yeah.
Right, the 28th of February, this is slide 3 of the tape of Joe Spedding, who lives at Leap. He's telling us about his life as a warden at Gull Island. And Mr. Spedding, you were telling us about different times of year. Now, when's your busiest time of year as a warden, would you say?
I would say June, when all the birds have come in and lay their eggs. All the birds that go away in the winter, they're back here. Well, in May, actually, May and June, I'm quite busy April, May, when the birds are initially laying the seagull. But then, I'm busy then when I collect the eggs, for say, 3 weeks or so. But after that, the real attention must be made to wardening. During initial stages, there's not any real problem, only vagrants who would come in and want to take a few eggs, gull eggs to eat perhaps. But basically, once the terns are in, they're laying and we stop collecting or clearing, then it's from then on, say from May 15th onwards, roughly that time, then we have to be very observant 24 hours a day and right into the middle of June, July, because once the birds are hatching, the eggs aren't any use to anyone. You know, it's egg collectors who would be interested. No one's interested in taking the chicks because there are no advantage. They wouldn't survive under normal conditions at all. So there's no point in people doing anything. So, but it's really May and June, I suppose, really busy to be observant, to make sure no one lands or attempts to land or disturb these birds.
Would you say that people trying to steal eggs has got worse or better since you first started?
Well, I would say worse because it's more sophisticated now. Because of the law being tougher, it's like a drug scene and everything else, that the people have become more wily. They have to be. They don't take chances anymore. And they would come in the middle of the night and they would use methods that, so they can't be detected. They use a canoe. Now we do, I watch all canoes in the river or people with them on their boats, or on their cars, sorry. And you have to keep an eye on these. You see someone in the evening going up river in a canoe, I ring the harbour master and say, keep your eye on them, or someone there. And so we have a little thing going that we can keep our eye on these people.
What would you say was the most unusual method that anybody's trying to use to steal eggs?
Well, I would say canoeing. Yeah. Yeah. Individually. Yeah. At night. Yeah. In a moonlight night would be the only time, because some of the eggs you wouldn't see unless it was broad daylight. But there are others. If you know they're there, you could go in at, say, on a good moonlight night, you could see them. As long as, see, these canoes would go along in daylight. We get lots of canoes paddling along the coastline, going along all the way along to Lymington, but they're only looking for birds, you see. They would know this bird's come, oh, that's one, but we know where that is. The next place, there's so-and-so bird, and they would come back one night or some, wait for a convenient time and collect eggs. Well, if they trot on them, as long as they've got so many, they wouldn't worry about that. They only want so many eggs. They don't want one. They want as many as they can get. But any that were damaged or broken on, by the way, that would be, they don't want to deliberately break them, but that has no interest to them. What they want is so many eggs of rare species. They don't want the black-headed gull egg because there's masses of them, but they would want certain tern species and certain waders. And these people are persistent. They're not people who would do it just ad lib. They wouldn't take the risk because the fines are quite extensive. It's £2,000 for landing illegally, and it's £2,000 for rare bird eggs and £1,000 for each egg of, say, on the second schedule. So you understand that, or figures relative to that, that the courts may impose those fines. So you see, and their gear confiscated, their boats or whatever. So you understand there's quite a strong pattern. But these people who would do it would think nothing of that. They would use every trick in the book, like the people in land who go for the peregrine eggs or the osprey eggs or the kite eggs that was blue. All these people that we've caught have all been linked to the various others or to each other in one way or another. We have a list, a complete list of these people, known collectors, but they all have friends in areas, see. We've got some in Totten too, and we know that they go to Wales, they go to places where the rare birds are, but all we can do is advise other people. I've got friends, you see, who say to me, I see so-and-so's van's gone, so I ring someone, knowing that they've gone off in this van or that vehicle, and they're the people. Well, you know, we have a little group of people who are interested who can inform us of particular people moving, leaving, or be seen to be leaving, either on holiday or moving out, at that time of year, but you know very well where they're going. They're going somewhere or other, actually to take birdseed. These are, I mean, we know people collect money, but you've got money to collect money, or art traders, but those who collect eggs. There are people who collect jewellery the same, aren't there? But basically, they've always knew it's got a lot of money. Now, the people who take eggs are they persistent, and they won't give up, dear, not even after they're caught. One man on a film, which an RSPB film, said, well, if they take my eggs, they're silly. I've got them, and I don't want any more. But if they take them, I've got to go out and get some more. Now, that's on a film, if he says that, and he meant it. And relatively, these people do not give up. So there's never, you can't say that it's not going to happen because it's been a quiet period, but it can happen without, and unless you're really observant, you don't know it's happened. You see, unless you go up there and check every now and again and make sure the birds come off and you say, oh, that's a good number, they're still all there relatively, you can work out whether it's 20 or 50 or 100 birds. It's not difficult to say, oh yeah, nobody's been there. But if you go and nothing comes up from that nesting site, then you know, you go ashore and you look for marks, and so you know someone's been there. But it's then too late. Your job is to intercept them before they get there, if you can. But by that method, you need a lot more wardens, and you need someone nearer. This is why I've suggested that we should have somebody during the critical times. We did this last year. We had a young lad, RSPB lad. We have a site place up at Needs All. It's a hut or a cabin, you know, with a light and everything, a phone in there, and amenities for having a, you know, making tea or breakfast or whatever. Well, the chap who painted that picture behind you, up there, the Brent Geese, you know, Jackie used to stay there all night sometimes. Great lad for painting. Next customs officer, you know, well attuned to looking for people to do, you know. But really, once, well, the chap last year was a younger man, Jackson. But you do need people who are alert, and they've got to be interested, because unless they're interested, they're not going to stay up all night, are they?
So how many people a year would you say, on average?
Well, no, on average it would be one a year, or one set of people.
Yeah.
These people aren't, they don't do it all the time, they only want what they want. They don't want the Gunnex, they want the Turnstile, they're only going to be there at a particular period. And at that time they choose, you know, they'll wait for the right time. So just during those periods, you do need to be alert and on watch and have someone there. I did suggest we had a small radar, because radar's not expensive today. Japanese radar is cheap, coloured radar. But if we had somebody in there with a radar on the screen, they could tell if once the birds went up, they could see the boats moving. As long as it's positioned high enough on the hut or above Needs All cottages, it's not a difficult thing to do, but the authorities concerned at this stage won't do it. Yet every damn boat that goes up the river's got radar on it. Even small lads, fishing boats now have got radar on. It's not very expensive. And if you think you're going to preserve something which is almost could be wiped out overnight, well, why not have a radar there? It's not that expensive, dear.
So how do you think sort of electronic gadgetry, how's that changed over the years?
Oh, I wonder why. Cameras especially, yeah.
I meant in relation to you being a warden.
Oh, for me, I haven't got any help. I've just, apart from my boat and ingenuity, I've got my own video camera and I've got a night camera that I can photograph people. It is my property. But I haven't got any equipment otherwise. The only things we do have are telephones and our eyesight. The telephone is the thing, I ring the police or whatnot.
Did you have a telephone when you started in 1940?
I've always had a phone, yes, as a young man, yeah. Wherever I've been, you know. I've had a phone because I like the phone as a link with my family and whatnot. But it's mine, I always pay it. Nobody pays it for me. They keep threatening, but that's about all. It's remarkable, really, when I think about it. But even when I was a Coast Guard, I kept threatening to pay it. Nobody ever paid it, but I got told, oh, we'll give you this and that. All I've ever had is a badge, a jumper, and well, it's like these other people, yeah, just the same. If you're sat in an office 30 miles from an area, protected area, you can have a car, a phone, and you can have everything. But if you're on the spot doing the job, oh, I don't know, can't afford it really. So it makes a mockery of some things, but then by saying this, I don't mind you hearing it because it's a relative fact. And instead of utilising what is here, doing something, well, even for years, I supplied the Kaler gas stove out of my launch. So that they got there, the men could have a cup of tea and things. Well, how's that there? Shocking, isn't it, really? I said, I'll get your porter cabin flown in there too, so you've got a bed in there, I'll go and sleep there. But you've got to do it the proper way. I could have got the army to fly them in for nothing. A porter cabin there too. From Newbury, there's an army centre. There's porter cabins all over the world. But nobody wanted, so they built a place. Fine doing it, but it's not the right way to do it. The right way is to make it efficient, so it was warm and controlled. They put a phone over it through from the clubhouse there. I said, while you're doing it, lay in the water and lay in electricity. You've got it to the clubhouse. Now, or from the cottages, it's not difficult to lay it in. All our electricity is run with a thing up the, an underground cable up here. If you want to protect an area, and if you want wardens there, you've got to make it habitable. It's not been done. And why not? It's ridiculous, because they'd spend thousands on other things instead of putting in something which, once it's there, it's permanent. I've got my own electricity cables here down my garden to my freezers and things. But if I can do it, why the hell can't they? But it is, and I would have, I said, I'll go and live there if you like. I'll be there as long as you put in those facilities to, you've got to make a proper bedroom, not a couch or a hard seat to sit on, or, you know, a proper bunk, and put in the facilities. It's all there. It's possible to do it. But no, just the phone. And so, as far as I'm concerned, although the authorities are there, they're operating, or they're substantiating law, they're not putting enough effort into that side of it. They may well do it for other areas in their sphere, because they do it in land sites as well, and marginal land right up through the river. But that, which is supposed to be a big thing, is really, it's nominal. They've got hides for people to go and stay in, paraplegic hides and so forth, that's fine. But if you're going to have wardens here, you want it wardened properly. It's a mockery, isn't it? And I mean this when I say, and I'm not trying to offend anyone, I'm just talking about the realities of a situation in a modern world. We could stop everybody landing on that radar and having electricity in that thing and making it habitable. I said I'd even get a girlfriend and go out there and make her work half the night. But not in a cruel sense, no. But truly, it can happen, dear. There's nothing stopping it happening. Just a little bit of foresight and do it properly. But yet, I can remember when they swapped all their cars and got Land Rover Discoveries from four-wheel drive Japanese trucks. You know, if you can go to that expense, what's wrong with the rest of it? Doesn't make sense to me, it doesn't really. But it's like my guns, everything. I provide all my own weapons, everything, all my own equipment, my own outboard engines, my gear. I have, apart from a few years, I've always provided my own equipment. English Nature provided initially one boat, then they provided an engine which was no good, and they had to get a new one. Then we had one stolen, and it was stolen off my boat. It was off my boat. Nothing to do with me, it's their property, but they don't insure anything, so it was lost. But my boat was found along the beach here. Somebody cut it off the mooring here. But I lost three rubber dinghies, my own rubber dinghies, not theirs. One of theirs was lost, but that was nothing to do with me. It was lost, and it needs all. You know, someone, or it blew away, or whatever. But that is part of life today, thieving and whatever. But insure against it, that's what they should do. But these things are so silly at times, you know. We could have had this thing sewn up properly, and I think one day they're going to have to do it. And if they don't do something this year about the big girls and the predators, there will be no turns to look out. All I hope is that someone during this summer will see sense and alter the rules a bit. Not for my sake, for the birds of posterity.